Awesome. So good. Isn't it good to come around the Lord's Supper? Jesus said, don't forget to do it. Must be important, hey? You know, one thing I learned when I was reading my Bible you might have had this revelation a lot earlier than I did, but either this is the truth or it's not the truth. If it's not the truth, we can all go home, yeah? But if it is the truth and these have the words of life in them, then we ought to give earnest attention to them, because the fruit that will come from it can change your destiny, change the lives of others for eternity. And who knows, eternity is a long time. It's literally no time, which means there's no measure of time. And if you were going to make a mistake in your life, you don't want to make a mistake that will cost you for eternity. And you know, so often as Christians, we can measure our success in life by whether or not we're going to heaven. And that's definitely an important part for sure. But did you know, kids, I think going to heaven is like getting a ticket to Disneyland, right? Now, who has anyone got on their dreams, kids, that you would love to go to Disneyland one day, right? Just look at your parents and just, I'd love to go. Maybe grandparents, they've got more money maybe, I don't know. So I'd love to get it. Now, has anyone actually been to Disneyland or Disney World? Okay, a few people, some grown-ups, some adults, awesome, awesome. So I remember we took our kids to Disneyland and I played a joke on them, right? It's because that's what good dads do, right? We play jokes on our children, although the Bible does say don't exasperate your children, so I only do it occasionally. And I remember we bought tickets to Disneyland and we got to the gate. I said to the kids, they were so excited, and I looked at Tyson and I said, well, Tyson and Taylor, we're here. We made it to Disneyland. You've seen it. Let's go home. And of course, what do you think they said, kids? They're like, no, we want to go inside. I'm like, oh, you want to go inside? I'm so sorry. I didn't realize. I thought you guys just said you wanted to go to Disneyland. So I brought you here. I showed you it. Here it is. We put our foot inside the gate. We've been, we saw, you know, Mickey Mouse, and we turn around, let's go home. And they were like, no, we want to stay longer. We want to explore what's in this place. We want to go on the rides. We want to meet the people. We want to buy the overly expensive fairy floss. We want to go do all these things. And I was like, oh, you want everything that comes with a ticket to Disneyland. Oh, you didn't just want a ticket to Disneyland. You wanted everything that comes with a ticket to Disneyland. Who knows, if you go to Disneyland, stand at the front gate, turn around and come home and tell your friends, I've been to Disneyland. Technically, you are correct. But experientially, you've missed out on 99% of it. But the 1% is true, you've been there. You know, we can be like that with God's word. We can be like that with God's purposes, his plans. We can be like, hey, I put my hand up, I've made my decision to follow Jesus, and I'm going to heaven. Hey, that's awesome. That's so good. Did you know that is like the first step? And on the inside of a relationship with God is even better than what's at Disneyland. There's so much of God to know and explore, his promises, his goodness, his purposes and plans for you are so mind-blowing that most of us, if we understood them, we would not be able to get you out of the Bible. If you really understood how amazing God is and how much he loves you, you would not be worried about all the things that consume our minds. Because the kingdom of God is about getting a revelation of who God really is. Because until you know who God is, then you can't really know who you are. Because the Bible says you're made in the image of God. So if you want to know who you really are, then you really have to know God. And I heard a story once about this young hippie lady, and she was traveling on a flight to India, and she made the mistake of sitting next to an evangelist, and she probably didn't realize. If you don't know what an evangelist is, that's someone who travels around talking and sharing about the love of God and Jesus. And she sits down, and she starts chatting to this evangelist, and he says, you know, what's happening? Why are you going to India for? She goes, I'm going to India to find myself. I'm going to find myself and find who I am, find where I am. And the evangelist, ever practical, looked at her, he says, oh, Well, I can save you a lot of time. I could have saved you $1,500, love. She said, really? He goes, yeah, you're right here. You're in 33C. I found you. You're right here. To which she did not appreciate. What was she meaning? She's like, I'm trying to find my purpose. I'm trying to find, why am I here? Because all of us have this deep longing, why am I here? And who knows, any of you who have ticked off some dreams off the board, you know, maybe you bought your nice car you wanted to have, or you finally became a homeowner and paid off the mortgage, and it's wonderful, but it's only good for a while, right? I've ticked off. I always wanted a BMW X5 white with black rims. I had it up on my dream board. I prayed for it. I spoke for it. And God's the dream fulfiller. He brings it to pass. But you know, I've had it for a couple of years now, and I'm like, yeah, it's just a car. I had a dream guitar. It was a Taylor guitar worth $5,000. I had it up on my dream board. Father, I just commit this to you. I'm going to go do your work and you make it come to pass. I remember God opened the door. I got my dream guitar. I wrote many songs on it. It was beautiful. And one day I just stopped playing it. Why? Because my purposes, direction in life changed. And one day I was playing at a church with it and I saw this young worship leader. And I saw him eyeing, not this guitar, my other guitar, and he eyed it off and he looked at it. And the Father spoke to my heart. He said, he's looking at your guitar the way you used to look at it. He said, I want you to sew your guitar and give it to him. And I was like, get behind me, Satan. I'm not receiving this. What is this madness? And I'm like, well, I think I like my guitar a little more now. And anyway, and so I didn't do it because this had been my dream guitar. I'd written many songs on it. And I was like, this was very, very precious. But I didn't not do it because I didn't want to do it. I did not do it because I didn't want to do it and it just be me. I wanted to really hear from God about it. And so I went away and I walked up to the guy and I started chatting to him and da-da-da. And you know, he's a great guy working in the meat factory, just trying to get by. But he loved God and had a heart for God, was worship leading at the church. And anyway, I left, and for the next 3 months, every couple of weeks, God, just this impression would come. You need to give that guy your guitar. You need to give that guy your guitar. You need to give that guy your guitar. It used to be your dream. It's not your dream anymore. It's his dream. Sow into his dream, and I'll open new doors for you for your greater dreams that I have for you. And it wouldn't go away. And so I said, okay, Lord, I'm going to call the guy. And if he says anything about his guitar, then I'll know that it's you. So I message him and I say, hey, mate, how's it going? It's Sean W. Smith here. How's things going? He goes, oh, man, it's so great to hear from you. Oh, dude, going really well. He goes, actually, I'm supposed to be playing this weekend, but actually one of my guitar knobs up the top snapped, so I have to take it into Adelaide and I have to get it fixed. I can't play my guitar at the moment. I was like, no. And I was like, okay, Lord, you got me. It's yours. It's yours. Because remember, God wants a cheerful giver. So you're better to actually not give till you're ready to give cheerfully. Do you know you'll receive no fruit if you give without cheerful giving? Let me demonstrate. Someone hurts you and they come up to you. Johnny, say sorry.
Sorry.
And you're like, what? That's exactly what I wanted. That bared the fruit of forgiveness in me. For sure not, right? Who knows, when someone gives you a rubbish sorry, what will you want to say? Keep your sorry, mate, because you're not even really sorry, yeah? Who's had someone give them something but there's secret strings attached? We've all been in there. It's horrible, isn't it? Rather not receive it unless it's given with a generous heart. And same thing, kids, being a friend. You know, no one wants to have a friend who, I'll only be friends with you if you share your recess with me. I'll be friends with you if you sit next to me. Being a real friend, being a giver in the kingdom of God, one of the secrets of giving is sowing with a grateful and generous heart. When you do that, you guarantee yourself you will receive the reward that comes from what you've sown. And so I was like, okay, Lord, I have no idea why I'm sharing this with you. Just God just put on my heart. So I called this guy up, and as it so turned out, I happened to be going that way the next week, and I went out and sewed my guitar into him and blessed him. And you know what? It was one of the most beautiful things ever, because he's so blown away. He had no chance of ever being able to afford a $5,000 guitar. The guy's barely paying rent, barely getting by. But you know what stood out to me? Our God hears the cries of every person's heart. And he'd been praying and dreaming and believing for that. And a guy working as a meat worker in the middle of regional Australia, not going super anywhere fast, but had a great heart for God and loved God. I tell you, God sees and hears the dreams and the heart's desires of his people. And today, I wanted to share that with you because I can't tell you how many times I've heard that testimony come back to me from random people that I don't know, and people find out, you're the guy that gave the guitar. I didn't give it for other people to tell me about it. I just sowed it. But what I didn't realize is that I wonder how many people's lives have been inspired to give and sow just from hearing someone else's story of radical generosity. Amen? And why am I sharing this? Because I never would have sown if the Father hadn't have sown the greatest seed of all, which is Son Jesus. If he didn't sow Jesus and give Jesus with a grateful heart, God didn't send Jesus and go, fine. If you guys won't accept me, then I'll send my son if I really have. No, the Bible says, for the joy that was set before Jesus, he endured the cross. And so I want to share with you a little bit this morning, and then I'm going to do a couple of songs in a second. But I wanted to set the frame for what I want to share with you today. And I'm a kids and family guy. So I like preach and share, and then I do a song. And some people are like, dude, that interrupted the flow. The anointing was going. But it's okay. The anointing picks up and goes off because it's simply about when you've got a ticket to Disneyland, you can go to the bathroom and come back out and the fun's still there. Yeah? God is not an on-off switch. Is that true? Yeah? Who knows? You can have a disagreement with your wife and still be in love. Is that possible? Yes, it is. Some of you think it's not, but it is. It's possible. It's possible to have a disagreement and still say, hey, I just want to let you know, I totally love you. You're my world. Yeah? Of course you can. Why? Because you never withdrew your heart when you had a disagreement. When I discipline our children, I never withdraw my heart from them. My heart is still there. We just have to discuss some things. That's why the Father says a good father disciplines his children, just like God disciplines us. And we're like, oh God, I'm in a wilderness season. He's like, maybe not. Maybe I'm just training you and it's okay, and training you in righteousness and get back up on your feet, big boy, you're okay. And put a smile on your face. I love you. Nothing's changed. And let's go. Let's shine. It's just our emotions, right? We let the bird sit on our head for too long instead of shooing it away. So I want to do a psalm because I can see, I want to bring the kids with us this morning, right? Because sometimes when adults talk for too long, kids switch off. So I want to do a song. I want to invite all the kids to come down the front here and the carpet because kids, we're about to burn up the floor here with some really epic moves. And don't worry, adults, I'm going to get you to join in too. And this song is all about walking and living godly, walking and living in God's best and in God's ways. And that's why I kind of prefaced it with the heart of generosity, because God is after your heart. Tell the person next to you, God is after your heart. All right, so we're going to do a song. It's called The Jesus Workout, and it's a bit of exercise. Now, kids, put your hand up if you think mum or dad is in pretty good shape. Not bad shape. Okay, put your hands up, children. Good job. Okay, hands down. Put your hand up, kids, if although mum or dad is in a pretty good shape, they could definitely benefit with a gym membership. You think that would definitely wouldn't go astray. Okay, all right. My children both have their hands up. Hands down. So we're going to do the song. It's called The Jesus Workout, and it's all about every day. Everyone say every day. So every day choosing to wake up and say, God, I want to choose to live generously. I want to choose to live godly. I want to choose to run after your ways rather than selfish ways. And so here's what you got to do. You got to get two fists in front of you like this, and you got to go one, two, three, boom. Are you ready? One, two, three, boom. Now, adults, you're going to join in for this. Now, it's not actually a dance song, Pastor Tim. There's no dancing. It's movement, okay? There's no dancing. It's literally a gym workout. And this is a song called The JC Workout. It's on one of my albums, and if you download it or buy it, it'll, you know, it costs a couple of dollars, which is way cheaper than a gym membership. And if you do this, you get the word of God in and you get fit every single day. So it's going to be awesome. So we're going to try this song together. Jump up on your feet. Now, I have got a couple of prizes to give away. And for the adults, I'm going to look for the most, I told you I was looking for the worst dancing adult. I think there's going to be a lot of worst dancing adults here. I have got my parenting book to give away. Hand up if you think your parents need a lot of help with parenting. Okay, that's awesome. Well, I'll keep my eye out for them. So church, why don't you stand to your feet? We're going to do a praise song together called the JC Jesus Workout. Come on, jump up on your feet, introverts. Come with me. It's worth it, I promise. This song's called the Jesus Workout. Look at the person next to you, say, let's rock this place. Goes like this. All right, can you clap your hands? Here we go, everybody right now, get your hands up. Hands up in the air, whoa, oh, oh. Wave your hands like this, hands now everywhere, oh, oh, oh. Take the knees low, sorry, it is a real workout, should have warned you. Here we go, everybody right now, get your hands up in the air, whoa, oh. We're singing, it's the Jesus workout. Gotta get your life aligned with him. All right, little clap in a sway, you're doing good, Gateway. Pump your fists now in the air, whoa, oh, oh. Now move your elbows everywhere, oh, oh, oh. Now take the knees high in the sky. You should feel your six pack, it's in there somewhere. Fists now in the air, whoa. Oh, we're singing, it's the Jesus workout. Gotta get your life, everybody go. One, two, three, you go, boom. Back, two, three, we go, boom. One, two, everybody, boom. Back, two, three, you go, boom. I said, hey, you, what do you see? Jesus living inside me again. Hey, you, now do you know? He is with me where I go. All right. Now, Ian, we are definitely going to need some physio work after this, all right? So just warming up, all right? Follow me. I said one, two, three. Everybody to the left. To the right. Can you take it low? Now up high. Everybody take it back. To the front. Turn around. And let me see you jump. Singing, hey, you, what do you see? Jesus living inside me again. Hey, you, now do you know? He is with me where I go. We go one, two, three, you go, boom. Back, two, three, we go, boom. One, two, everybody, boom. Back, two, three, you go, boom. Get your hands up in the air, whoa. Oh, oh, wave your hands like this. Hands now everywhere, oh, oh, oh. Take the knees low, take the knees low. Here we go, oh, oh, yeah. Get your hands up in the air, whoa. Oh, we're singing, it's the Jesus workout. Gotta get your life aligned with him. Give Jesus a great praise clap this morning. Wow, you guys are amazing. You can go have a seat back with mom and dad. Give them a high five. Tell the person next to you that was terrible, really bad. Woo! Very, very good. Well, there were a lot of incredibly talented and gifted bad dancers, Pastor Tim. I don't know if you have a special anointing here at Gateway. But you know what I love? I love is that, you know what? God calls us to shine. And sometimes shining is uncomfortable. Sometimes, there's a reason why the Bible says, if anyone wants to come after me, he has to deny himself. What does that mean? It means he has to deny the right to be understood by everyone. He has to deny the right to always be the most popular and look the best. And he has to choose, I'm going to align myself. That last verse in the song goes, got to get your life aligned with him. I'm going to choose to align myself with God's kingdom principles because I want the fruit that comes from God's kingdom principles, which is fruit that comes, well, it's the blessing that comes and makes one successful, but without painful toil. Who wants to succeed without painful toil? Yeah? I know in my marriage, I don't want it to be like, oh, brother, 17 years. This was from year 5. This was from year 7. Oh, children. Well, that's the back of the knee here. Been carrying them for... God does... That the Bible says children are a blessing from the Lord. Blessed is the man or woman whose quiver is filled with them. The Bible says that two shall become one. God's idea of marriage is a picture of him and us. So marriage is not meant to be a bummer. Kids aren't supposed to be a burden. And you aren't supposed to, we aren't supposed to be broke, busted, disgusted because God wants to be our provider. So the kingdom of God has a different way of thinking, a different way of pursuing, a different way of going after things. And when you run down that path, you will discover what Jesus says, life and life in abundance. But when you're not on that path and you're on the path where you're going to be your own provider and you're going to make things work and you're going to do it on your own and your own strength and your own talent, you might seemingly take ground faster. But the problem is there's no lasting fruitfulness that comes with it. And even if there is fruit, it comes with painful toil. It costs you more than you want to pay. And that is why this church is here. This church is here to be a lighthouse to say, hey guys, there's two ways to live. God's kingdom principles or your own way. You can choose. But as for us in this house, we're going to run after God's ways. Amen? That's what we're going to be, a church that runs after that. So, hey, there was a young fella up the back there, and I'm going to come find you after the service. I know who you are. I saw you down the front. You were rocking it. Very, very good. And you win my special rocking dancing prize. And I'm going to keep my eye out for the worst dancing adult. There was too many I couldn't pick. Here's what I want to do. I want to take a couple of minutes. It's not going to be long. But kids, I want you to do me a special favor. God really likes you. And in God's eyes, he doesn't go, you're a kid, they're an adult, we're all God's kids. There's no age where you're like, oh wow, you're 13, now I can do something with you. No, in God's kingdom, there are 88-year-olds he can't use because their heart is shut off from him. So it doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter how good looking, how talented, untalented you are. God is looking for your ability to receive what he says about you, to be able to listen and receive it. God can use anyone mightily, deeply. And so I'm a country boy, right? I come from WA, regional WA, and I grew up my dad was an alcoholic, my mom was a manic depressant. And so like in terms of like growing up in great families, I didn't have a great family that I grew up in, but something wonderful happened. My mom and dad owned a business and they had a secretary, her name is Loretta. Everyone say Loretta. And I thank God for Loretta. She didn't have to be perfect. I don't know what if she's done a lot with her life ever since, but Loretta did something incredibly important. She invited my mom to come to church. That's it. She just invited my mom to come to church and said, do you want to come with me to church on Sunday? And my dad, he wasn't an atheist, but he wasn't far off it. And he's like, fat chance, pigs might fly before I ever go to church. And she goes, that's okay, Graham. I wasn't talking to you. And I talked to my mum. And my mum said, okay. And my mum came and heard a guy get up the front. It was nothing fancy. He got up. And he just said, I want to tell you there's a God in heaven who sees you, who loves you, knows everything you've been through. He cares. And God just wants to let you know he loves you and has a destiny for your life. But it's contingent on your willingness to open your heart and allow his love to come in. Because God can't transform a heart where his love can't be received in. You can't grow a crop if the seed can't get in the soil. Your hardness of heart will determine whether or not God can produce fruit in your life. He just said, God loves you, and I'm sowing the seed of God's love. Is there anyone here who will receive his love today by faith? And my mom did something real brave. She said, yes, that's me. I am ready to receive the love of God. I am sick of living my life for myself. And something wonderful happened. She received the love of God into her heart, and she got baptized. And in the next 3 weeks, my mom was totally free from depression and God changed her life. And some people say, well, you know, I just haven't experienced that. I'll tell you why she experienced it. It wasn't because God went, oh, this one, we're going to do a special miracle here. No. There's a very special kingdom principle my mom got a revelation of. And it's found in Mark chapter 4. And I'm going to read it with you in a minute. But something happened in my mom's life. And the secret was really this. She believed and received the love of God into her heart. She didn't reject it. She didn't constantly question it. Well, I don't know. How come this? She received it by faith like a child. and it came in and it started to produce fruit and it pushed out all the wrong believing. It, God's truth exposed all the lies my mum was believing about herself, that she's not good enough, that she's depressed. Show me in the Bible where it says, and you are depressed and that's who God's called you to be and you shall stay there. It doesn't say that anywhere. It says, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. It says, the joy of the Lord will be your strength, though sorrow may last for the night. Joy comes with the morning. There's so many verses of Scripture that tell us, no matter what your burden is, no matter what your problem is, God has a way to liberate you and free you from it. But it's contingent upon your willingness to, by faith, receive the love of God. And that's why you'll discover many people can't advance, or they can only advance in their spiritual life to a certain point, because we all have questions, doubts, fears, unbeliefs that are rooted in uncertainty from our experiences. And there's only one way to overcome it, is you have to find the truth on it. And sometimes to get the truth on it, you have to invest some time into the Word of God, time in prayer, time getting mentors and pastors and people who have wisdom, who have good fruit around you. And, you know, we live in a world where people just don't want to do that. They just want someone to give them a tablet and say, this is a tablet called truth. There is no tablet called truth. Well, Ten Commandments is technically a tablet, but it's not a tablet that comes that you can swallow. You have to go find it in the Word of God. So what do you think the enemy's number one job is? Keep you out of anywhere and away from anyone that has the truth. Why do you think you fall asleep when you read the Bible? Some of you have never thought about it like that. But you can stay awake all night reading and knowing, and stay awake all night watching YouTube, but we fall asleep when we read the Bible. Why do we struggle to stay awake in church? But we have no problem staying awake at our favorite concert. What is it? I just can't dance in church. But if I take you to a football game, all of a sudden, woo! What is it? The enemy doesn't care if you get excited about things that don't matter. But when you get excited about things that matter, you become a real problem. And so God wants us to be people who are rooted and grounded in truth. And the reason my mum was transformed is she, by faith, the limitation we're all going to get to is there's going to get a point where you're going to have to, by faith, receive what God's truth says about you. And that's a real difficult thing for some people, because we've all had experiences and we all feel hurt and rejected. And here's the thing that I've learned in my life from the Word of God, is the one thing that a relationship with God must be premised on is this: God is always good. If you can't live like that, you will only ever get so far in your relationship with God, in your marriage, in your parenting, in your finances, in your business. If you don't believe that God is always good and His plans are to prosper you and increase you and help you, then you will get to a space in your life and you will think, I don't know if I want to push deeper here. We have limiting beliefs. Now, self-help groups and whatever, they talk about limiting beliefs. But what is it? It's like you're not certain about it. You're looking for the truth. And so I want to read you a little scripture. And anyway, long story short, my mum, after 3 weeks, my dad was like, whoa, you've changed. You're different. I'm going to go find out what they did to you down at that brainwashing place. Here's the problem. The problem for my dad was the change was good. Yeah? The change wasn't she didn't become a weirdo. The change was she walked in a greater level of love, a greater level of forgiveness, a greater level of joy. Yes, she's still my mom. She had some messed up stuff to work through, but the change was good fruit. Everyone say good fruit. God doesn't produce bad fruit in your life. God produces good fruit. And my dad, he didn't know how to deal with it. That's why he says, what are they going at that brainwashing place? That's called skepticism, comes from lack of knowledge. You know that, right? That's what skeptical people are, skeptical because they lack the truth. And they're scared that they'll have to change what they believe in order to see truth. And it makes people feel very nervous and very uncomfortable. But I always say, well, what is to gain by doing it? Lots of things in life are scary. Asking Rena to marry, go on a date with me was scary. What if she said no? But what was the fruit that could come if she said yes? A life of joy and happiness together. And so my dad came to church, and long story short, preacher got up and preached a message very similar, and my dad gave his heart to the Lord Jesus, and over the course of the next 1 month, changed my whole family's life. And now I've had the privilege to travel all over. My parents raised me godly, brought me up in church with my brother, and I've had the privilege to go and share the gospel with more than 1 million people around the world. And I don't say that boasting. I say, thank God for Loretta. Because you know what happened in Loretta's life, can I tell you, to be real honest? She went through a really hard time. She ended up getting divorced. One of her daughters decided that she, was going to, she went through a really tough time and kind of ran away. And she went through some hard stuff. And do you know what happened? Loretta, she lost sight of the truth of God's love. Loretta let life speak louder than God's truth. That's all that happened. She's not a bad girl. She didn't do anything wrong. She didn't like, God's not mad at her. She stopped doing the things that were producing fruit in her life. And I caught up with her 5 years ago, and she was real messed up. And I went to her and I saw her. I found her. I looked her up and I said, Loretta, look at me. She's like 15 years older than me. But see, I have the confidence of God on the inside of me. I don't care if you're 85, 35. Look at me. Thank you for telling my mom to come to church. If that's the only thing you ever did with your life, every single person that God has used me to touch gets accredited to your heavenly account. And then she was like, ah! Why? Because she lost perspective. She thought because this happened in a marriage, her life is no good anymore and God can't do this. Are you kidding me? The Bible is full of messed up people that God goes, I pick you. And you know what's so cool? From that moment, she started going back to church. She started plugging in with my mom and dad more. Now she's running well and doing well. And sometimes we just lose perspective because we think it's got to pan out this way or this way. I'm telling you, you can't be too messed up for God to help you. Your business can't be so backwards that God can't restore, but you have to be willing to receive the truth. So I want to read you one little verse from the book of Romans, chapter 10, and verse 17. I'm going to put it up here as I get ready to wrap up. And it says this. It says, consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word about Christ. Who's heard this verse before? Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Haven't you thought it's weird that it doesn't say faith comes by heard and heard the word of God? Or faith comes from hearing and that you heard the word. I always thought it's weird when I read this verse. What is hearing and hearing? Like, how can you be hearing something? You can heard something or you can hear something, but how do you hearing something? Maybe I'm the only deep, like, weird thinker here. I don't know. But I thought that's a weird message, but I realized something. Nothing's in the Bible for no accidental reason. It's there for a reason. You have to understand it. And as I'm praying about what to preach with you today, because I don't preach the same message everywhere, I'm like, Lord, what are you saying for these people? This is what the Lord put on my heart. He said this, the reason that people start well on their faith journey but get stuck is they stop hearing the word. They heard the word, but you could only live on yesterday's bread so long. Yeah? That's why, what do you think, in the desert, God gave them manna, but he said, don't take any more than for today. Why? Everything is spiritually taught and putting on the inside of you. God wants you to depend on him daily, 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 daily. What is it? He's saying, you can't get a revelation of something once. God loves me, and think that you can hear that once and never continue hearing it for the rest of your life and think you're going to run well and do well in life. You will not. You will not. So I want to show you something from the Bible really quickly. Mark chapter 4. If you've got a Bible, you can turn there. If you don't, no worries. I think we might have a few verses up on the screen. And I want to share this with you. And listen to this. It says this. A farmer, Jesus is telling, they said, what's the kingdom of God like? He goes, this is what it's like. Listen, everyone. A farmer went out to sow his seed. And as he was scattering his seed, some fell along the path. Everyone say, the path. And what happened? Those darn birds came along and they ate it all up. How much fruit came from that crop? No, everyone say, no fruit. No fruit. Some fell on the rocky places where it did not have much soil. The seed went in. and it sprang up quickly and started to grow because the soil was shallow. But when the sunlight came up and the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. Everyone say, how much fruit came from that? Everyone say, no fruit. No fruit. The seed got planted. It was planted in the soil, but it didn't get deep enough, so the sun killed it. Next verse. Now other seed fell among the thorns, which grew up. The seed sowed, it grew up, it grew, the plant grew, but the thorns choked the plants and they did not bear grain. Everyone say, no fruit. So we've seen three different kinds of soil. In some they grew, in some they didn't, but all of them had one thing in common, no fruit. Yet it says, still other seed fell on good soil and it came up and it grew and produced a crop, some multiplying 30, 60, and 100 times. Listen. Then Jesus said, whoever has ears to hear, let him hear. And I always thought that meant, listen to my parable. But isn't it interesting? How is it that the seed only grew in the good soil? Are you telling me the good soil? Are you telling? And he goes through and he explains, this is a picture of people. The first ones, people don't receive the word. They reject it. The second one, they receive the word, but as soon as difficulties come in their life, they give up. The third one is they receive the word, but then they start worrying about things like money and this, and I'm going to pursue this and this, and they lose perspective of the word. And the third one is the people that allow the word to stay. He says, let he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Here's my point for you this morning. The secret to the 30, 60, 100-fold ground is these are the people who keep hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing the word of God. What does the Bible say? To meditate on my words day and night. That doesn't mean you sit like Kung Fu Panda. Okay? That's not meditation. Meditation is to chew on the word. God loves me. I believe it in my heart. I say it with my mouth. God loves me. I'm a forgiver. If you're struggling in forgiveness, what are you saying? I'm a forgiver. God says, forgive one another. I'm a forgiver. That's who I am. That's who God says. I'm a forgiver. Man, my husband, my wife, my kids, my boss, man, what they did is so wrong. But I'm a forgiver. Why? Because if you don't, the weeds come up and choke you and you become fruitless. So you lose even though you're right. So in the kingdom, who wants to lose and have nothing? But I was technically right. No, I want to prosper, do well in everything. And if that means that I have to be willing to chew on some of God's word a little longer, then I'm telling you the secret to a deeply fulfilling marriage, to being a great parent, to prospering financially, to seeing things come, to growing deeper in your relationship with God, to forgiving, to healing. Do you know how a lot of people don't experience healing? They won't chew on the word long enough. Everyone's waiting for like power. And then all of a sudden, oh, I'm alive and I feel better. Usually that's not how it happens for most people. I had like arthritis in my hands from years of playing the guitar. Yeah? And it was in so much pain. And one day God said to me, why are you putting up with it? What? Why are you putting up with it? By my stripes, you're healed. But the problem is I hadn't heard it enough and hearing it. I'd heard it once, but I hadn't chewed on it. By his stripes. He said, you think I was beaten on my back for no reason? You think I was beaten on my back for no reason? He said, I could have called down myriad of angels to come and rescue me. It says in the Bible, everything I went through, there's purpose to it. Everything. And if you think my stripes were for nothing, then you've missed it. By my stripes, you're healed. And I had to go, oh my gosh, God is my healer. And here's the thing. I hadn't chewed on this. God is my healer. Oh my gosh, Jehovah Rapha. Anyone ever heard that name before? It's the name of God. It's his name. It's not something he does. He is Jehovah Rapha, the God who heals. But some of us, we're like, well, I prayed for someone three times and they didn't get healed. My auntie died. This, I know stuff happens, but it doesn't change. If it's God's name, if his name's Jehovah Rapha, he can't not be a healer. If he's Jehovah Jireh and your family went broke, your last business went broke and this, but he's still your provider. So something was missing. And this is where people get stuck. And you got to go, Lord, correct me in my error of my thinking. I want to hear you. Let me hear your word. And you know what? I chewed on it for weeks. Thank God you're my healer. Every time I thank you, Father, you restored my body. You restored my bones. And you know what? I don't know when it happened. Yeah, I don't have any pain anymore. And you know what? I can't tell you, like, power flew through my... It didn't happen like that. Some people do. God bless their heart. But all I know is most breakthroughs in my life have come from chewing on the word, hearing it. I do not sit and study my Bible 5 hours a day. I like watching movies and YouTube as much as anybody else. Do you know what I've had to learn to do, bud, is discipline myself in my mind when I'm out kicking the football or playing tennis with my son. Father, I thank you that you love me. I thank you you're empowering me. Well, Dad, can you hit the ball just 1 second? Father, I thank you for my children. I thank you you're raising them in your ways. I thank you for all your goodness and your mercy following my life. All right, buddy, hit the ball. Let's go. That's how I had to learn to do it. Hearing the word. Get a bill you can't pay for. Thank God he's my provider. Father, you have another bill. I thank you so much, Jesus, for your wisdom of how we're going to take care of this. It's a constant talking. That's called hearing and hearing and hearing the word. That's why we can be 30, we can be sure you can be 30, 60, 100-fold soil when you hear the word. Amen? All right, church, would you bow your head with me this morning? We're going to wrap things up. And maybe you're here today. If you would like to bow your head, we don't have any soft music to play behind to make it go down easier. So just close your eyes, bow your head where you are. I'm a country boy, I can't help it. Hey, I just want to tell you, God loves you so much. You know, God's proud of you. You can be mad at God, God still loves you. You can be disappointed, you can feel brokenhearted, or you can be running and doing really well. You need to know God's proud of you. Do you know why? Because you're his son, you're his daughter, and God don't reject his kids. No matter where you're at in your life right now today, I want to tell you God has a purpose and a plan to bring restoration to your life. Whatever it is that's holding you back, whatever questions you have unanswered, whatever things that have been consuming your mind, God wants to help you. And it starts by your willingness to have a heart that's open to him and say, Lord, I am willing to receive your word. I am willing to receive your love. I am willing to lay my pride down and I'm willing to let these things go so that, Father, I can receive your love and you can bring transformation to my heart. And if you're in this place today, I don't care if you're a child, a teenager, adult, grandparent, whatever stage of life you're at, you're never too late for God. You're never too early for God to do something great with you. So while no one's looking, everyone's head's bowed, I don't want to embarrass you, but I do want to pray for you this morning. If you say, Sean, I'm here and I know I need to get my life right with Jesus. I know I'm either away from God or maybe this is your first time and you've never had the privilege of having the chance to have a relationship with Christ, to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and to receive the love of God into your heart, to be forgiven and to make a start on the journey of who God's called you to be. If that's you here, well, no one's looking, I'm going to count to three. And on the count of three, while no one's looking, I'd just like you to quickly raise your hand up so I can see who you are, and then you can put it back down. And I just want to pray for you this morning. So if that's you all across this place, on the count of three, you just raise your hand. I'd love to pray for you. You ready? 1, 2, 3. Is there anyone you'd say, that's me? God bless you, Sarah. God bless you. God bless you. Anyone else? Just raise it so I can see. God bless you. I see your hand. God bless you up the back. God loves you so much. Anyone else, if I haven't seen you, God bless you. I see you down the front, young man. God bless. So many people this morning. God bless you. He loves you. Church, here's what we're going to do. Would you stand to your feet all across this place? We're just going to pray really quickly. And if you raised your hand, I'm not going to embarrass you this morning, but we want to pray together with you. And we're just going to pray a simple prayer. Would you just say this out loud? And church, would you pray this with us so they can feel comfortable? And if you put your hand up, just mean it with all your heart. It doesn't matter if you feel a goosebump or not. That means nothing. What matters is that in your heart, you just say it by faith. God, I believe. And believe that as you say it, God's hearing you and you mean it with your heart and God's going to do his part. That's how faith works. Faith is not a feeling. You just speak it. So let's pray. Just say out loud. Say, thank you, Jesus. Say aloud, thank you, Jesus, that you died for me to restore me back to my value as a son of God, as a daughter of God. a part of your family. God, I'm sorry that I've withheld my heart from you, that I've shut part of myself off from you because of hurt and pain. But today, I want to know the truth. I want to have right relationship with you. So I open my heart to you. Thank you for forgiving me. I repent of all the things I've done wrong. And by faith, right now, I receive your love into my heart. God, expose things in me that are not true and cause me to become everything you paid for. I love you, Jesus. Amen. Why don't we give those people a great hand this morning? So good. Well, if you raised your hand this morning, could you do me a massive favor? I would love for you to make sure before you leave today, come and tell one of the pastors here. Come and say hi to me afterwards. We don't bite, I promise. And we would love to just encourage you. And if there's anything we can do to help you on your journey, I know our team is here. Hey, church, it's been so fun hanging out with you. Introverts, you've done so well. I'm so proud of you. And, you know, some people find me hard to put in a box, and that's because I don't live in a box. I'm a preacher, but a kids entertainer and a dad and an evangelist and everything. And you know what? I want to encourage you. You don't have to live in a box either. You don't have to live in a box. You know, for 14 years, 5 years of the 14 we've been in ministry, lots of places wanted to put me in the kids ministry box or put me in the adult speaking box. And I said, I don't live in either of those boxes. God's called me to be generational. Oh, we don't do that. Okay, no worries. You know what? God opens right doors, right people, right place, right time. Whatever God's put on your heart, he'll fulfill. Church, thank you for having me. It is a joy to journey with you. God bless Pastor Tim and the team. Thank you so much. You're so welcome.